Good morning, everybody. All right, let's stand up. I had a question earlier this morning. I'll just tell you guys. There's the reason we have the small monitors. Why do you have a small monitor when you got all the big? The reason we do this is for the camera shot. When people that are watching on the internet, those of you that laid in bed and watched us at some point in your life, we won't say who you are, because we do the tight camera shot. Otherwise, to be able to see what's our scriptures, you have to back the camera up, and I become very small. But I told them I want to stay big in the. Nah, they do that for the camera shot, so that's why we have a small slide. I knew you were interested in that. All right. John chapter 8 says, as he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. And Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, Genesis chapter 3 says, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this thing, cursed are you more than all cattle. And more than every beast of the field, on your belly you will go, dust you'll eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. You notice there are two bruisings here. There was a bruising we've been talking about the last 4 weeks. We talked about the bruising the devil does, all the seed, not only the seed of the woman, the one singular, but seeds plural. That the purpose of the devil is to literally bruise every person that he can. And we talked about the bruise of rejection, the bruise of bitterness. We talked about just general bruising and all that took place. And we talked about, but there is another bruising that's recorded here. And that is not only was the serpent, the devil, to bruise the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman was to bruise the head of the serpent. How many of you would rather have your heel bruised than your head bruised? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for opening our eyes to understand. And so today we ask you to do it one more time. Would you help us understand? Lord, would you make it meat? Would you break the bread? Would you break the fish and feed us? Lord, would you make it edible and bite-sized where we can take it? Every person will receive something different, I know, Lord. But would you, whatever our need is, would you open our heart up, Lord? Open my heart, Lord, to receive. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. You can be seated today. The Bible says that God made man in his own image. We are unlike any other creature on the face of the earth. We're not the same as dogs. We're not the same as cats or dolphins. We have been made in the very image of the living God, the Bible says. And God gave man, because of that, he gave us special authority, special life, different than he gave to animals and to creatures and to all that, and even angelic hosts. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, it says this. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule, everybody say rule. God gave the rulership of this earth to Adam and Eve. God gave the rulership of this earth to man. And he says, and you rule over the fish of the sea, over all the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So when God created man in his own image, he also then delegated the rulership, the authority, the rule to man to be over the earth. And literally man began to take that power and rule. The Bible says Adam brought all the animals together. He named every animal. The reason it's called a giraffe, he called it a giraffe. The reason it was called a whale, he called it a whale. The reason they're called all these things. So God, he named all the animals, the Bible says, because he had rulership. God didn't say, now this one's this, now Adam, or this one's called this, or Adam that. The Bible says Adam named them because he had been delegated the authority and the rulership from God to rule this earth, rule over all the kingdoms of this world. Now, but when man disobeyed, when man listened, instead of listening to the voice of God, man listened to the voice of the devil, something happened. There was a giving over of the authority in that disobedience to the one, because Jesus said, whoever you obey, you become their slave. And there was a giving over of this authority. There was a giving over of this rulership of the planet, of earth, to the devil by the disobedience of mankind that he did it. And in fact, look at Luke chapter 4. It's said there. The devil, this is when he's tempting Jesus. The devil took him up to a high mountain, Jesus, and showed him all the kingdom of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, and said to him, to you I will give all this power and, everybody say authority. Authority and their glory and all their magnificence and excellence and preeminence and dignity and grace. For it has been turned over to me, and I will give it to whomever I will. Now notice what the devil's talking to Jesus. If he was lying, Jesus said, you lying dog, it's not what you... He never disputes what the devil says here. The devil says, I've got the authority now, I have the rulership, it has been turned over to me. How was that? Legally, it was turned over because whoever you serve, you become their servant, you become their slave. And so the devil comes on the scene. In fact, Jesus says it the same way in John chapter 12. He says, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this... I thought Adam was the ruler of this world. I thought Adam was to rule the world. No. He was, but because of disobedience, he turned over the rulership of this world to the one he obeyed. He turned over. In their disobedience, there was a transfer of authority. There was a transfer of rulership over to the devil. In fact, Jesus calls him that. He's the ruler of this world. Look at the next one. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me. So in some way, their disobedience transferred the rulership, the authority of this world. Now, God owns it, but God had delegated it there. And God is a God of order, and God's a God of what he says he does. You can trust him. And when he turned over the rulership to mankind, he didn't because he didn't like what he did with it. He said, okay, now I'm scratching that plan, I'm taking it back. No. God's a God of order. God's a God of rules. If he just broke every rule he ever made, then he wouldn't be consistent. He's consistent. So he turns over the authority to Adam. And Adam, in his disobedience and becoming a slave under Satan's voice, turns over, gives over the rulership or the authority of this world to the devil. So Satan, he did not by power dominate. He did it legally. He didn't by power come and take it away from Adam by power. And so God is not going to come by power, because you know God could do it. God could come by power and take it right back from the devil and say, all right, you're out here, slap him upside the head and knock him into tomorrow. But he didn't do that because God's a God of order. And so God delegated what he delegated, the man that he delegated to, then gave it over to the devil. And you read in the Bible where literally he tells, he says, but it's been handed over to me. And Jesus calls him exactly that. It happens. Now, he gained it through over this earth. Now, here is where the wisdom of God comes in. Because the cross of Jesus affected not only our relationship between us and God. The cross also affected our relationship between us and the devil. See, we know that the cross, you know, changed the relationship between us and God, because this veil was rent in two. And now God says, come home. We can go into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. And the cross, it opened the way to God. But what we forget many times is the cross also changed the relationship between us and the devil. Because our father, first Adam, gave over the authority to the devil. And so his relationship to the devil now was changed, because now the devil had authority over the earth. The devil now had authority over that. And now, but listen, the cross is going to change that, because Jesus was called the second Adam. And now the second Adam is going to take back legally what the first Adam lost legally. And it's going to change not only our relationship to God, it's going to change our relationship to the devil. Everybody say amen today. It's going to happen. All right, now watch this. Ephesians chapter 3 says it this way. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me. Now watch this. He does not say, I was reading the Old Testament and I happened to see something in the Old Testament. Just, okay. He didn't say that. He said, because he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Man, this guy, if anybody knew the Bible, it was the Old Testament, it was Paul. Because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew the law. He knew the Old Testament. But he didn't say, I was reading the Old Testament and I saw this thing. He says, by revelation, there was made known to me something. And I'll show you why that's important. That point's important. He said there was a revelation. There was a revelation. God appeared to me and told me something. By revelation there was made known to me the. Everybody say the next word. The what? Mystery is something once concealed but now revealed. Something once concealed but now revealed. There was by revelation made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. It's not in all the other generations, it was never known. Isaiah didn't know it. Jeremiah didn't know it. Moses didn't know it. David didn't know it. In other generations was not made known to the sons of men because it was a mystery. It was something hidden. In other generations was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body. There was no Jew in the Old Testament ever saw that. Didn't know it, didn't believe it. Wasn't anywhere hidden. There wasn't any examples. There wasn't anything there in the Old Testament. There wasn't that. It was not in the Old Testament. It was hidden. It was a mystery. It was not laid out like that. All right. Fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Jesus in Jesus Christ through the gospel, of which I made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, his grace was given to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages, now watch this, which for ages has been hidden, everybody say hidden, not in the Old Testament, not somewhere on the pages of the old covenant that you could have looked at and read and said, oh, I see it now. Bring to light the administrative, which for ages has been hidden where? How many know if you want to really keep a secret, don't tell nobody? The Bible says Jesus didn't need anybody to tell him about man. He knew what was in man. And guess what? God decided at some point in whenever. God decided, I ain't telling nobody. I ain't going to tell Gabriel. I'm not going to tell Michael. I'm not going to tell Adam. I'm not going to tell Moses. I'm going to tell nobody. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who has created all things. So that the manifold, the many-sided wisdom of God might now be made known, watch this, through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. That means the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places didn't have a clue, didn't know about it, didn't know what God was doing. It was a hidden thing in God. God had not put it out there anywhere, had not told anybody. And now the church is living out and preaching, and the things we're doing today, listen, we are not only preaching to mankind and the lost, but we are preaching and we're living out and we're telling and we're testifying to rulers and authorities in heavenly places that did not understand, didn't know what God was doing. This is good. It'll get better. You'll see it. So it was hidden from man. It was hidden from rulers and authorities, principalities and powers. In fact, the church is doing that. Now look what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you a testimony and evidence of mystery and secret of God concerning what he has done through Christ for the salvation of men in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom. For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you except Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified. Now, watch this. He said, listen, there was a mystery of how God was going to save mankind, of what God was going to, it was hidden in God. Now watch this. But rather, we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the understand from human understanding and angelic or demonic understanding. And now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages, before God ever did the ages, he had a plan in his heart. He didn't tell nobody. He had something deep within him. He didn't reveal it to nobody. No angel, no demon, no human. Nobody knew it but God himself, hidden in God, which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. Lift us into the glory of his presence. None of the rulers, watch this, of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they never would have stirred up Judas to betray him. They never would have stirred up the Pharisees to have him crucified. If they would have known it, they would never have done the things they did. Now, what it really gets good. Everybody, look at somebody, say, "This is good." Would you say, "This is really good"? So, what God did was this: God is a God of legal. God is a God of legality. God obeys what he says, and he turned the rulership of this world over to Adam. Gave the authority to Adam. Said, "This is yours. All the authority. Now, you name them what you want to name them." If he'd have named a giraffe something else, it'd have been something else. If he'd have named what, you name it, you have authority now. Adam turns it over, gives it over, gives place to the devil, and the devil then takes authority. Becomes, instead of Adam and mankind, the ruler, now the devil is ruling, the ruler of this world. But from the very beginning, God, this plan is the undoing of Satan, and he's going to do it legally. What he's going to do is he's going to legally take back what Adam legally gave over to the devil. But it was a secret plan. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew. God had it deep within his heart. Watch this. And from the very beginning, God starts to set the trap. Now watch this. God would throw out little bits and little pieces. A picture here, a picture there, a picture here, a picture. And he would give a prophecy here and a prophecy there. But literally, listen, but from the very start, here's what God said. Because God's words are never off the cuff and just thought of at the moment. God's got a plan. Anybody that will set a meal, the marriage supper of the Lamb, everybody that would set a meal for a couple thousand years before it would take place, how many think he's already got the menu in place? And a God like that, God prepares, God plans. And so at the very beginning when this fall, the Bible says, before the ages ever started, God in his foreknowledge knew all this stuff. And so when Satan does what he does, the Bible says this, God looks him square in the face and he's going to start the trap. He's going to set the trap going. He looks him square in the face and says, yeah, you've done this, devil. You've caused this. You've received now authority. You've gotten the rulership. But let me tell you something. You're going to bruise. You're bruising everyone that's coming in the world. But let me tell you something. There's somebody coming. He's going to bruise your head. He's going to knock you upside the head. He's going to hit you so hard, you're going to be a done devil. Come on, somebody. Now, what would you have done? That's probably one of the worst personal prophecies anybody got in his entire life. What would you have done? And now, the devil knew God doesn't lie. What do you think went through the devil's mind? I mean, he's listening to this. And then he starts eating dirt. Come on, somebody. I mean, he's thinking, there is something going to happen to me. There is somebody. So you know what he does? First person ever born in this world, he goes after him. Cain kills Abel. You read the story? Cain, you know, let me just say that. What happens is, you know what? He begins to kill every person whenever he thinks, maybe this is the one coming to bruise my head. He would set to kill him. In fact, John 10:10, listen to what Jesus said about him. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Look at the next scripture. You are your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer. He's not just a killer. He's not just somebody that kills. There's a difference between a person that accidentally kills somebody and a murderer. And he says, the devil is, his character, he's a murderer. Why was he a murderer? Why was he a murderer? Well, just because he's a deep, you know, bad devil. No. He was a murderer because he was looking out for the one that's going to bruise his head. And every time he thought somebody, this might be the one that's going to bruise my head, he would try to kill him instantly, kill him as quick as he could. He would work and do what, and we'd have that person killed. And so within him there was this characteristic of a murderer. And it's that very thing that God is setting the trap. It's that very thing that God is going to use to legally undo what Adam legally did. And he's going to use that characteristic of the devil. He's a murderer from the beginning. He murdered over and over again. He would always be on the outlook. And Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 says it this way. Satan in some way, now watch this. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same. Through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So in some sense, in some way, in this time period, the devil had the power of death. And because sin, the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23 says that. Watch what it says. Romans 3. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. I think I wanted the next one, next verse. It says, the wages of sin is death. And then think that through. Somehow, because of the devil, whatever, he's the ruler over this world. Now he was the authority. Because of sin, he had the power of death. And because of that, he was a murderer. He liked to do it. And so he was always on the lookout for the one that was going to bash him upside the head. That was God's plan. He was going to use that. He was continually throwing out pieces. And you'll find he thought it was Moses. And so at a very early age, he tries to kill Moses along the way. Because Moses, he thought maybe that's who's going to do it. And what happened is this. When God got ready to bring about and set the trap and hit the button, here's what he did. When Jesus was born into the world, God didn't just bring him in real quietly, sneak him in the back door so the devil would. The Bible says he lit up the whole heaven, got the whole choir out there, started to sing, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. How many know that didn't play well in hell? How many know that didn't go over well? Because there is one unhinged devil. He's come. Now what's he come for? He gonna hit me upside the head. The first word I ever got from God was, there is somebody, the seed of the woman is coming. He's gonna bruise you upside the head. Let me tell you, the war was on. He sent his, the fight was on. The wise men come. On and on and on. And you know, and at the very beginning he tries to kill him. At the very beginning, he sends troops. He stirs up a madman called Herod. And Herod then goes into the city there in Bethlehem and literally tries to kill him. And they take all the children from 2 years and under. And they kill every one of them. Why? Because he's a murderer from the beginning. And God, but see, this is God stirring up. God's going to play this. And notice what it says in 1 John chapter 3. I love this. Now watch this. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. To destroy the works of the devil. He came to hit the devil upside the head. He came to bruise his head. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And the word destroy is word L-U-O. They didn't read my writing well. It's L-U-O. But it means to come unglued. It literally means to make something lose its consistency. To make something. And here's what it is. Jesus came into the world to make everything the devil's ever thrown on you to lose its consistency, to come unglued off you. He's come as a solvent that's going to take everything off of you that the devil has stuck on you. Every work of the devil, everything the devil stuck on you, you may be caught in some junk. But let me tell you, that means it's not going to happen overnight. But over a period of time, he will cause all that junk to fall off of you. That means I don't have to give up. That means I don't have to throw in the towel when I've tried and I've failed 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 times. I'm going to kick people back up because sooner or later it's coming off of me because Jesus made it come unglued. Come on, somebody. He's made it come unglued. And so he's got it. But now the devil knows the who. Now the devil's not guessing anymore. The war is on. One time Jesus went to Nazareth, and the Bible says the devil stirred up his hometown. They're going to take him to the brow of the hill, which was a big cliff, and throw him off. And Jesus, walking through the midst of them, walked his way. What's he trying to do? He's trying to kill him. He's trying to, because now the devil is blinded with rage. The devil knows this is the one that's going to bash my head. So I got to kill him. I've got to kill him. I've got to kill him. Like I've killed every other one. I've got to kill him. I've got to kill him. He tried it when he's a baby. He tried it while he was walking. Undoubtedly, he probably tried it during his lifetime. We don't have a history of it. But during his ministry, you read over and over where they tried to, over and over, try to kill him. And so he's coming on him. And so now, but what he doesn't know is the how. He has no idea what the how is. He doesn't have that. But look at this in Acts chapter 2. Watch this. Peter taking his stand. This is the day of Pentecost. Peter taking his stand with the 11 raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over," watch this, "the plan that was hidden in God." The plan, the mystery that he didn't tell nobody. This thing God had, here it is, watch this. "This man delivered over by the predetermined," what? "Plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan that he didn't tell nobody, that he hid in himself, that he didn't tell Isaiah or Jeremiah or Moses or David. He didn't tell nobody. Didn't tell any. Didn't tell Michael or Gabriel. Didn't tell anybody. The predetermined plan of God." And literally he says, was Jesus' death on the cross part of God's plan? Absolutely. And watch this. But the only reason Satan had, listen, the only reason Satan had power of death was because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But if you didn't sin, you don't have to die. If you didn't sin, you don't have to die. If you didn't sin, death has no power on you. If you didn't, if that, look what Hebrews 2 says. Again, read this. This is good. "Therefore, since the children of share in flesh and blood, he himself also took partook of the same. That through what? Through him dying, through him being killed, through the cross." That's why the cross is so important to you. Through the cross, he was going to do something. What was that? He's going to render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Through death, through the cross, through him being killed by the devil, by him being crucified, by the devil stirring up, like Jesus said one time, "He that rendered me up has a greater sin." He that did this thing, literally, the devil, I don't know how to say this, it may sound, the devil sinned in killing Jesus. Because Jesus had never sinned. I'll tell you. But watch this. The word "render powerless" means this: to make of no effect, to reduce to a zero. I don't know if you ever have been reduced to a zero in your bank account. You ever been reduced to a zero in your bank account? Few of you gone below a zero, but that's really as far as you go. And his Jesus' life was taken away illegally. And literally, he came to reduce the devil to a zero. Now, it's one thing. I don't know how many of you ever fought. I used to fight a lot growing up. It was just in Virginia, one of the things you did. It was one thing to get beaten up when you're over in the back of alley by you and the two of you back in the back alley. It's another thing to get beat up when you're out in gym class and everybody's watching. Come on, somebody. And Jesus, when he whooped the devil, knocked him upside the head, he didn't do it in the back alley. He did it out in front of everybody. Now, watch this. This is really good. Through death, Satan had no right. He had no right. I'll show you that in just a second. But what he had no right. Look at Acts chapter 2. Watch this. "This man delivered over by the predetermined plan, foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death." Watch this. "But God raised him up, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power." But because, you know why? Because he never sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But death only can hold somebody if they've sinned. And he never sinned. It was impossible for death to hold him because he had never sinned. Now look what 1 Corinthians 2 says. Watch this. Go back. But rather that we are setting forth as a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us up the glory of his presence. None of the rulers of this age, our world, perceived and recognized and understood for this. For had they known that, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they thought it through, had they saw it, had they known the plan of God, they never would have crucified the Lord. And that's what he said in Ephesians 4 says, neither give place. See, you can give place to the devil by sinning. If you sin in your life, you give place to the devil. You open up, you give him place. You give, just like Adam, having sinned, he gave place to the devil. He gave it. He was handed over to me, the authority of this world. And this is what Jesus said. He said, I'll speak not much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. But guess what? He got no place in me. He's got nothing. I haven't sinned, never sinned one time. Pilate said, it's innocent blood. I'm not going to crucify. He said, listen, he has no right or authority over me. He cannot kill me because I have not sinned. I know he has the power of death, but he can't bring death on me because there's nothing in me of the devil. There's no place. Come on, somebody. No place. Now, watch this. Watch this. When he did this, he crossed a line of authority that God set the trap. I know we had mice in our house a few months ago. I just listened. When I heard that thing, shunk. One time it went shunk and my finger was in, but when it goes shunk, the trap had been set. And listen, look at the Colossians. I love Colossians. What's what Colossians says? Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he, watch this, when he disarmed, everybody say disarmed. When he disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he didn't do it in a back alley, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. When he disarmed, publicly disarmed the rulers and who's that? The devil and his host. The word disarmed is a military word. It means to strip. It means to strip the hide. It means Jesus skinned him alive. Come on, somebody. But it's also a military word. It means strip the hide off an animal, but also a military word. It means to do this. In military terms, it meant to this. It means to divest wholly or to despoil. To totally strip of rank and authority. Authority. The Greek word meant to strip of rank and authority. To strip of rank and authority. When it was a Roman word they used. It was a Greek word. And what it was is in a Roman army, when one of the officers had committed treason or committed something that was illegal, what happened was then one of greater command than he would come, and he would call that commander before him. And then he would call all of his those that were under him. He would call all of them together. And there would literally be a herald that would proclaim the charges against him. You have broken the law. You have digressed. You have broken the military code of law. Therefore, you are being stripped of your rank and you are stripped of your authority. And then it would be announced to all of his under him. Says, this man has been stripped of his authority and stripped of his rank. That is what Jesus did to the devil. The day the devil sinned and crossed over a line, he had no right to take the life of Jesus. He killed an innocent person that death had no power over. And now in somewhere in the heavenly realm, when he left earth and was going to heaven, because the devil's the ruler of the atmosphere, you know, the air. Somewhere he stopped. And there was a herald went forth. He that was dead, behold, is alive forevermore. Let Satan come forth and all of his host. And when he came forth, the Bible says, he despoiled. He literally stripped the devil of his rank and authority. And said, let every devil in hell know that your commander has been stripped of his authority and stripped of his rank. And the second Adam took back what the first Adam gave away. The second Adam legally, come on, give him a good clap off. Would you come on? And I love this. Now watch this. What a mighty God we serve. And now listen to this. When Jesus rose from, when Jesus had rose from the dead, he'd gone to see the Father. He presented the blood into the holiest of all. You know the story. And that had between a relationship between us and God. But during that resurrection time, by the time he went from earth to heaven and then back to earth, he dealt with, changed the relationship with between us and the devil. And here's what he said. Here's the first, from the first words he said to his disciples after he rose from the dead. Listen to what he said. Watch this. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, first words out of his mouth, what did he say? All what? What did he say? What? Did that remind you of somebody else offering that at one point in his life? Did somebody else offer him that at some point in his life? Luke chapter 4, when the devil took him to the high kingdom, showed him the kingdoms of the world, said, all this authority will I give you if you fall down and worship me. It's because it's been handed over to me. He was offered that one time before, wasn't he? But Jesus knew, no cross, no crown. Come on, somebody. No cross, no crown. Because he's now going to legally take back what Adam gave away. He's going to leave. And the first one, the first words out of his mouth, all of thought. Why did he say that? Why would he say something like that? You know why? Because to him it was a big deal. He had just called the demonic host together, stripped their commander of his rank and authority, and now the kingdoms of this world, they have become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now he says he no longer has the authority over this world. I now have all of, now you can go to all the world making disciples. Come on, somebody, because all, come on, give him a good clap off. All authority has been given to me. And I like what it says in the book of Revelation. Look at this. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the what? Keys of what? Death and hell. The devil no longer has the power of death. Jesus stripped him of rank and authority. And Jesus now has the power of death. Jesus now has all authority in heaven and in earth. All authority is given to me. Now you can go throughout all the world because the kingdoms of this world. And now Hebrews says an amazing thing. It says, "We all things are under his feet. All things are subdued. But we don't see everything yet. But we see Jesus." And one of the keys is during some of the world wars that we have fought. You know, like in World War II, Japan, all those countries had already resigned. They'd already been defeated. But you know, there was always pockets throughout the world of concentration camps where the word hadn't reached yet, where the prisoners of war were still, you know, and they were not, but they didn't know it. They were free. And one of the keys you need to learn about this is the devil will lie to you. He's a liar. The Bible says he's a liar. He's a father of lies. He will lie to you and tell you that you're in bondage. That will never come off you. He will lie to you and tell you your kids can't do this and your kids can't do it. He'll lie to you and tell you this is going to happen to you and that's going to happen to you. He will lie to you. And what you need to understand is you need to understand the truth of God. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And what the... And I don't know if you ever seen that. There was actually that happened where they would fly over and they would drop pamphlets into prisons and said, hey... You know, the ones that's got the rulership in this prison, they've been defeated and they've resigned and they've already given up and they've surrendered. And you ever saw any of those movies? I mean, it literally happened where literally the prisoners became the authority and the guards became the prisoners because of truth. How many need God to come drop some pamphlets over your household? Drop to say who's really in charge and who is authority? Come on, everybody stand up. Give the Lord a good clap offering one more time. Would you come on? Oh, God is good. Come on, everybody stand up today. Lord, we thank you today for your victory. We thank you, Lord, today that you have defeated the devil. We thank you that you just didn't do it by power. You could have done it any day of the week just by power. But you did it legally, Lord. The whole universe stands up and shouts, and we say, righteous and true are thy judgments, O God. You have not done it just by being a bully, God. You did it righteously and you did it truly. And you have redeemed us, Lord, from the curse. You've redeemed us, not only, Lord, from our relationship with you, but, Lord, teach us how to deal with the devil now in our life, Lord. How to deal with him, Lord. How to see him crushed under our feet shortly. And to deal with all the lies and all the deceptions he brings into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for being set free. We thank you, Lord, that you've got all authority again now. We go into all the world knowing that you've got the authority, Lord, not the devil any longer. The kingdoms are really yours, God. We know we haven't seen it all yet, but one day we shall see it. But we've put our eyes upon you, and we thank you. And I thank you right now. Maybe somebody in here, every eye closed. Maybe somebody in here, maybe you're bound up yourself and you think, man, I can never get free. I want to be free, but I can't be free. I just know it. There's a something voice deep inside my head says, you'll be bound by that habit. You'll be bound by that for the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you, the devil is a liar. Jesus has come to set you free. There's everything that the devil's put on you. God's come to loosen it, to make it come unglued in your life. And he can do it this morning. I want to do first just salvation. Maybe you think I'm just too bad to be saved. Let me tell you something. That's a lie of the devil. He's got you in his kingdom, the darkness. But Jesus has come to translate you to the kingdom of his dear son and to liberate you, because the paper is fallen. It's called the Bible. And it says that he is defeated and he's down. So right now, maybe you want to be saved. You never have. Listen, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heal and know us. I want everybody to pray together. If you want to be saved, just repeat after. Say, dear Lord, I want to be saved today. I didn't think I could, but Lord, I believe today that you have done something that gives me the ability to be free. So I ask you to forgive me of all I've done wrong. Cleanse me. I believe you died for me. I believe you were buried for me. I believe you rose again from the dead for me. Come into my life and take over. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Would you give him a good clap offering? All right. Turn around. Give somebody a good high five this morning, would you? Tell them you're free in Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.